We're going to finish off our study in Hebrews 11 this morning and move into chapter 12. And each week as we've looked at the book of Hebrews, we've reminded ourselves of who it was written to and why it was written to them. And you know, context is very important if you're really to get the true meaning of the message that's been brought forward. And the book was written to Hebrew believers and Hebrew believers who were wavering and really struggling with the issue, should they go on or should they go back to where they came from? And as we've said each week, these Jewish believers at this particular time, they trusted in the Lord and it brought with it great cost for them. And they were facing persecution and great trials. And that context is very important in terms of understanding the book. Just want to quickly read the portion we're going to look at this morning and then try and sort of take a quick overview and see what we can learn from it. So Hebrews 11 and verse 32. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tested, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having received witness, through faith received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now this chapter of faith that we've looked at, chapter 11, has been a great encouragement as we've gone through it. It's sandwiched in between a little portion at the end of Hebrews 10 that reminds the Hebrew believers not to cast away their confidence, but to have patience, to look to the promise ahead, and to live by faith. And then a little portion we're going to look at the end of chapter 11 and into chapter 12. And that tells us about how much better we have in Christ compared to some of these Old Testament saints that we've looked at, and how we're to consider them and to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And, you know, just to recap through each of the characters that we've looked at, there's been a different aspect about them that the Hebrew believers were being taught. When we thought about Abel, what we were thinking about was faith and worship. When we looked at Enoch, it was about faith and our walk. When we looked at Noah, it was about faith and our witness. Abraham, it was about faith and waiting. Isaac, it was about faith and the will of God. Jacob, it was about faith and how weakness can be turned into strength. Joseph, it was about faith and watching. Moses, it was about faith and wisdom. And Israel, that we looked at last week, including Joshua and Rahab, it was about faith and winning. And then we come to this portion, and there are many, many people in here. And I think it's about faith and being a warrior. All of the examples throughout this chapter have been brought before the Hebrew believers and us with three points in mind. First of all, to encourage us to be faithful. And secondly, to exhort us to be faithful and to lay hold of the promise that God has given us. And I think thirdly, to explain what faith is. And faith, as we've said week by week, is simply having confidence in God's word and taking him at his word, despite circumstances or despite what the consequences might be. So I want to just take the next 15 minutes or so and have a think about a few points that we can learn from this section that we're looking at. And first of all, I want to look at some of these warriors that we have. We see a list here in verse 32 through to 37. I think as we come into verse 32, the writer is beginning to draw a bit of a conclusion. He starts off in verse 32, "And what shall I more say?" You know, he's gone through a range of examples. And, you know, he's really saying to the Hebrew believers here, like, you know, what more can I say to you? I've brought before you these examples, their faithfulness, how they've taken God at their word, at his word, and how God has upheld them. What more can I really say? And then he goes on to say, in terms of the constraint on his time, and I suppose a constraint because the pages of a book wouldn't hold all the examples of God's faithfulness to his people throughout the ages. But he goes on to say in verse 32, "For time would fail me to tell." And then he goes on with a whole list more. He says, "There's any amount of people who I can bring before you as examples of their faithfulness and how they have persevered for God." And you know, he continues on then, really. We finished off with Israel last week, and how they had crossed the Red Sea and how they had taken Jericho. But he continues on from Israel and he starts to list a range of people. He names six in particular. We have a number of the judges listed, Gideon, Barak, Samson and Jephthah. And then he goes on and he names one of the kings, David, and he names one of the prophets, Samuel, and then he goes on and he names the prophets generally. So really, whenever you think about it, he says, I could continue on with a long list here that takes us right up to where we are now, but time wouldn't permit. And you know, whenever you read down through this, you know, he singles out two women who we know whenever we go back into the book of Kings, it tells us here that they received their dead again and how they had sons that were raised from the dead because of their faithfulness. You know, he makes reference to Daniel in the den of lions and how through his faithfulness their mouths were shut. To the three in the fiery furnace, and how they were brought through that trial. And there are others that are implied. And it's really worth taking this chapter. And you could draw a very long list of the people who are referred to whenever you think through some of the things that happened. Elijah, I think, is implied in here very clearly as well. Isaiah is another who's probably implied Jewish history would tell you that Isaiah was sawn in two, and there's a reference made in there in verse 37 to that. So I would encourage you to take this chapter and this wee section from verse 32 through to 37 and go through it and actually try to list the characters out that are referred to. But they're all warriors. They were all in spiritual warfare, and they were living their lives for God and taking him at his word. So we see a whole range of warriors here. But let's for a moment just think about their warfare. Again, we could spend a lot of time on this. And just like the writer to the Hebrews, time would fail us to actually do it this morning. But there's a number of things that you could note here in terms of their warfare. We're told that they subdued kingdoms. And you get some real lovely pictures whenever you get into the book of Judges and you look at some of these judges and you look at some of the characters involved and how they went on and how they saw great things done because of their faith. We're told as well that they did good. And there's many examples in this section. When you go back into the Old Testament, where you see the good that people did because of their faithfulness to God and taking him at his word. We've already mentioned about how there was great miracles done as well, through the mouths of lions being stopped, the whole fiery furnace and the dead being raised. A lot of really positive things that you can see in these warriors who were faithful for God. But you know, one of the things that you start to see in this section, and the writer to the Hebrews brings it to the attention of these Jewish believers as he comes towards the end of the chapter, there's some negative things in here as well in relation to those who lived lives of faith. We're told that they were rejected. We're told that they were mocked. We're told that they wandered, that they were tortured, and that they were put to death for their faith. You know, the faith of God's people in the Old Testament saw many great things achieved. But faith also persevered, despite the circumstances and despite the consequences. And you know, we're told in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, that all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, it's not something that won't come our way. It's something that will come our way. And the writer to the Hebrews brought before these believers who were weary and faint in heart the fact that some of these great warriors of faith suffered right up until the point of death because of their faith. And I think it's very interesting that he does this. You know, despite the faithfulness of some of these folk, they weren't delivered from the circumstances or the consequences of where they found themselves. But God gave them the strength to carry through right until the very end. You know, they were in a battle. They were in warfare. And the Hebrew believers, they were going through persecution and trials because they were in a spiritual warfare, just the way that we are as well. But you know, in Ephesians 6, we can put on the whole armor of God and all the resource that he has given us to aid us and help us in that spiritual warfare. And you know, there's a lovely verse, I think it's verse 10 in Ephesians 6, about how we're told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's a great promise to lay hold of in faith, and one that can carry us through. And you know, I think as well, just practically from our own point of view, It is worth bearing in mind what the writer has done here and how he brings before great characters of faith who suffered and who were persecuted and who lost their lives because of their faith. It wasn't because their faith was weak that they suffered these things. It was because of their faith, and it was their faith that actually brought them through. You know, sometimes folk can sort of accuse us of our circumstances being down to a lack of faith. And, you know, I don't hold with that. I think it's very wrong. In certain circumstances, it might be the case. But in a lot of cases, God will give us the strength and the faith that we need to see us through some of the greatest difficulties that we might have. So we see warriors and we see their warfare. But, you know, look at verse 38. I want to think of the worth of some of these people, the worth of some of them. You know, we could think of the object of these warriors. You know, their object in life, as they went through the warfare that they faced, was to keep their eyes on God and serving Him, and to keep their eyes on heaven. Their interest wasn't in the world round about them, and their interest wasn't on people round about them. It was on God. And you know, that's very important when we think of their worth. Their object was clearly upon God and on heaven. And their action was about pleasing Him. And that was their aim. That's what they wanted. They weren't with going with the flow. And they weren't for avoiding controversy. And they weren't about seeking man's praise. It was all about doing what was right in the sight of the Lord and pleasing Him. And we can think of the acclamation that they received, of whom the world was not worthy. You know, whenever you think about the depths of that, you know, that would be a wonderful epitaph to have written over you at the end of your life, of whom the world was not worthy. And you know, that's what God thought of the people who have been brought before the Hebrew believers as examples of faith. The world was not worthy of these great people of faith. But you know, we can move on into verses 39 to 40, and we can think of their witness. Let's just read verses 39 and 40. And these all, having received witness through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, when we think of their witness, it's quite simple. These people took God at His word. All of these Old Testament saints that are brought before us, they looked toward Christ and His coming as Messiah. And they died looking for Christ coming. And you know, I think it was Bill MacDonald in his commentary on this verse, he said that these Old Testament saints, they never enjoyed a perfect conscience as far as sin was concerned in the way that we do as New Testament saints. And what the writer to the Hebrews is doing here, he's saying, look, Hebrew believer, we have much better in Christ. We have Christ. He indwells us, and the work has been completed on Calvary's cross. We're not looking toward that anymore. We have it, and we have Christ as a personal possession. And he's saying, think about what these witnesses endured looking for that. You have it, and you're suffering. But think about these witnesses, and how do we compare to them? So we have these warriors, their warfare, their worth, and their witness. But I think what the writer does now He turns it round and he sent the Hebrew believers, right, let's think about our walk here. Let's think about our walk. And you know, these first three verses of chapter 12, I think they're just worth reading again. I'll just share a few thoughts with you on them. We've already been in them this morning. He really brings things to a conclusion here. And he says to the Hebrew believers, wherefore, seeing we also were compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, we could ask four questions here just as we think about our walk, as we think about the Hebrew believers' walk. And the first one is, what is our condition? What is our condition? These Hebrew believers, they were weighed down and they were weary. They were faint in their minds. They were ready to give up. And you know, for each and every one of us, we can feel weighed down at times. We can feel weary. And we can feel like giving up. We're not really that much different to these Hebrew believers at times. But you know, the second question we could ask ourselves is, what are our circumstances? And whenever you look at verse 1 of chapter 12, you can see that these Hebrew believers, in terms of their circumstances, they were in a race. And it was a real marathon. And it was causing them pain. And they were getting it tough. And you know, for these Hebrew believers and for us as well, the Christian walk is a marathon. And it can be tough. And it requires perseverance. And we're in a spiritual warfare. And I think that's why at the end of this section, he brings before us real warriors and shows us the warfare that we're involved in. But then, you know, the third question we could ask when we think about our walk and the walk of these Hebrew believers is, who should be our consideration? Who should be our consideration? Well, first and foremost, in verse 1 it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, he said, listen, I've brought before you all of these examples of faith. Think about them. Think about what they have done for the Lord. Think about how they have laid hold of God's promises. I've brought them before you as examples to encourage you, to exhort you, and to explain what faith is. So he says, consider them all. But then he brings before them the most important consideration of all, and we've already thought about this morning. We should consider the work of Christ and what he has achieved for us. And you know, in these verses, you could start to think about his love for us and how he laid down his life while we were yet in our sin. We could think about what he gave up for us. We could think about what he endured for us. And in these verses brought before us, we have the contradiction of sinners against himself. The emotional and mental anguish that he would have suffered as people railed against him and mocked him. You know, we have the physical pain of the cross brought before us as well. And you know what physical anguish it must have been to have been tortured so that you were unrecognizable as a human being and hung from a cross by two nails in your hands and two in your feet. And we have the hours of darkness brought before us in these verses as we consider Christ as well. And you know, that brings before us the spiritual anguish there must have been for the sinless Son of God bearing away our sin and being punished for it by God the Father on that tree. But you know, the greatest thing of all that we have in this and that we can consider in Christ, and that the Hebrew believers can consider in Christ, is his absolute victory for us. Because at the end of chapter 2, or of verse 2 of chapter 12, we've already thought about this morning, it says, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's won the victory. He's risen from the dead. He's ascended to heaven. He's seated at God's right hand. And the writer to the Hebrews, I believe, he's bringing them back to what he said to them earlier in the book and said, and he's your great high priest. He's there and he makes intercession for you. And you consider what you have in Christ. And I suppose the fourth question as we think about our walk is, what's our conclusion? You know, for the Hebrew believers, as they look at Christ and press on with their walk, and as we look at Christ and seek to press on with our walk, you can sum up these first three verses under three headings. In verse 1, there's a laying aside. It talks about laying aside every weight. The weight in itself isn't a sin. It's things that hold you back. And there probably were things that were holding these Hebrew believers back. And he's saying, lay them aside. And sometimes there are things that can hold us back, and we need to lay them aside. If you're running a race, you don't want to carry any more weight than what you need to. Because if you do, those who are running after you will catch you up. And I think the reason why it says about laying aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Sin, yes, we have to set those besetting sins to the side. But you know, the devil's running after us. And if we've got weights round about us, he's sure to catch us up. So there's a laying aside. In verse 2, there's a looking unto Jesus, who has completed the work. And in verse 3, there's a learning from him. Verse 3 is wonderful. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Warriors of faith, their warfare, their worth, their witness, and what it means for our walk. And I suppose the challenge for the Hebrew believers, and the challenge to us from the example of these warriors and from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is will we take God at his word? And will we persevere in the race that's set before us, despite circumstances and despite consequences? You know, it's absolutely necessary if we're to please God in the way that this great cloud of witnesses pleased him. And just as a finish, I want to read the words of a hymn. Some of you may know this, but I'm going to read it anyway. I was thinking about it just as I was looking at this section. It's called Follow Me. It's by Ira Stanfill. Each verse starts off with the complaint of the believer and finishes with the response from God. I'll just read it to you and then we'll close in prayer. It reads, I travel down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me, and then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. It goes on, I'll leave it up here if we want to read it. But Brothers and sisters, let's think upon the Lord and on all that he has done for us. We'll just pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you love us. And we're so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, for all of these examples that we've looked at. And Father, we confess that we're weak. We're often weary and we're often faint in heart. But we pray that we would be encouraged and that we would go on for you and that we would know your power and your help in our lives. In Jesus' name.